Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look ahead, as we usually do, to this Sunday. And this Sunday, the church celebrates the Nativity of John the Baptist. The Nativity of John the Baptist. So the question is a rather logical question. Why do we celebrate in such a major way the Nativity, the birth of John the Baptist? And Magnificat magazine, through Father Peter Cameron, who is the editor-in-chief of Magnificat magazine, he answered that question. And I'm going to read it to you because I want you to hear this. I want you to think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was one who wanted to decrease that Jesus might increase. He was the one who poured out. His whole life was a pouring out of himself to be the one to go before the Messiah. He lived not for himself, but for the one who was to come after him. And this applies to us, brothers and sisters. When does God call me to decrease that he may increase? Father Peter says this, "The Nativity of St. John the Baptist is a sacred reminder of the fact that every day I need, born in my life," and then he lists the things, "someone who leaps with joy before the presence of the Lord, who makes me want to live my own relationship with Jesus with greater ardor and favor." That's what John the Baptist did. "Someone to prepare the way of the Lord and to give me knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of my sins." That's what John the Baptist did. "Someone who turns my attention away from my distractions and my preconceptions so that I will behold the Lamb of God as the true desire of my heart. Someone who models for me that there is no greater joy in my life than for Jesus to increase and for me to decrease, especially as regards my self-reliance, my self-assertion, my self-absorption." Oh, brothers and sisters, we don't really honestly realize how much we worship ourselves. Might not use that verb, but that's what we do. We put ourselves first. And John the Baptist put the Messiah first. Clearly put him first. "Someone who is a burning and shining lamp, whose radiance gives light to my path and courage to my heart, making me want to live for others. Someone so committed to the truth that he is willing to lay down his life for the truth, become flesh, witnessing to me that all true happiness comes through self-sacrifice. And finally, someone whose sanctity proclaims that there is no man born of woman greater than he is, but that I can share his greatness if I love Jesus as he did." Think about that. John the Baptist, the one who went before the Messiah to make a way. Are we making a way for the Lord in our circumstances, where we live, where we work, where we associate with other people? Are we making a way in our lives for Christ? Let's ask God for that grace today, that grace to open our hearts to see how we might serve the Lord by, in a sense, as John the Baptist did, go before him, making a way so that people will listen to the voice of the Lord. What can I do? First reading is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. "Hear me, O coastlands, listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb he gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. He made me a polished arrow, in his quiver he hid me. You are my servant, he said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord, my recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb. that Jacob may be brought back to him and Israel gathered to him, and I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, he says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. John the Baptist went before Jesus, Jesus who was the light of the world. John went before him, making a way. Ask yourself what God wants of you in your circumstances. How can you make him known better? Psalm 139, I praise you, for I am wonderfully made. Truly you've knit me, you formed my inmost being, you knit me in my mother's womb. I give you thanks that I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul also you knew full well, nor was my frame unknown to you when I was made in secret, when I was fashioned in the depths of the earth. God knows everything about us, brothers and sisters, and he put us on earth so that in a certain sense we could go before him in every generation, announcing his truth, his goodness, his beauty, loving him, encouraging others to come to know him and love him. Let the grace of John the Baptist fall in us in a different form, but that same grace is ours. Lord, you probe me, you know me, you know when I sit and when I stand, you understand my thoughts from afar, my journey and my rest you scrutinize, with all my ways you are familiar. So if God wants to guide us, let him open your heart to him. It's not just your personal little life. It's your life, yes, but in Christ, with Christ, for Christ, to the glory of God the Father. And John the Baptist knew that. Ask him to pray for you. In the second reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, verses 22 to 26. In those days, Paul said, God raised up David, king of him. God testified, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish. Can God say that about us? Ask him for grace. From this man's descendants, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he. In other words, I'm not the Messiah. Behold, one is coming after me. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet. That was the lowest form of service that a slave would do. And he said, I'm not even worthy to do that. My brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those others among you who are God-fearing, to us, this word of salvation has been sent. Have we received it? Do we live by it? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 57 to 66, and then verse 80. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her. She was older, had never had children, and they rejoiced with her. And when they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, no, he will be called John. But they answered her, there is no one among your relatives who has this name. So they're, you're not following protocol here. You're not doing what you're supposed to do, because they were always named from someone in the family line. And she's saying John, and they're saying, no, there is no one. And remember, Elizabeth's husband had been struck dumb while he had been serving in the temple because he doubted what God could do. So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote, John is his name. All were amazed. Immediately his mouth was open, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. He did what he was supposed to do finally, and that's what opened his mouth again to speak. Obedience to God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Very early in his life, he went off into the desert to commune with God in silence, waiting, knowing that he had been called to something. Brothers and sisters, the greatest acts of God begin usually in silence, begin with a call to us to follow, to be obedient. And so often we shrug it off, we turn away. God loves you. And just as he cared for the people in the day of Elizabeth and of John, brothers and sisters, the Lord is asking of us to be attentive. He's asking of us that we too would listen, that we would pray, that we would ask him to reveal, to show us what he is about, insofar as he wishes to let us know, and that we would be obedient to him and to whatever he asks of us. It's not easy. We want the whole plan. We want it all mapped out. We want to be able to see the beginning, the middle, the end, the results and fruits, and then we're going to decide whether we're going to participate or not. Brothers and sisters, what God is asking of us is, in a certain way, is what he asked of John, to be obedient to him, to wait upon him, which is why he waited in the desert until he should be ready to carry out whatever it was that God was asking of him. It takes faith, doesn't it? It takes faith to believe. It takes faith to wait on the Lord, and you need people around you to help you, because you can't determine the voice of the Lord from your own thoughts. You might think you can, but you can't. You'll make mistakes. You need good spiritual people around you who can advise and help you. But what you want to do is be following him, saying to him, "Lord, I want to do your will." And then giving God time every day so that he can draw you into intimacy, into deeper relationship with him. And then you're going to be in a position where you become more sensitive to his thoughts, to his direction, and you become more obedient to what he wants. This is the call, brothers and sisters, on all of us. You say, "Oh, well, that's for saints, or that's for holy people, and I'm not that." If you have in your heart a desire to know God and to love God, then God will use you. And the more you give him time in prayer daily, the more he can prepare you for the work he has for you to do. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.